Cade Simmons joined our team here at Living Water a year ago. In fact, it was July the 1st that he and, is that right? Okay, you're laughing like I said something wrong. I'll make sure I didn't call you Bob or something. Okay, good. So July 1st, they came on staff here at Living Water, he and his wife, Cammie, and they've been a blessing to us, and they actually added, I guess, an arrow to the quiver this year with the birth of Everly. She's a precious little girl. It's great having them here, and we've asked him to come and speak today. This is his first time, so y'all take it easy on him. He did a great job in the first service, but let's just make him feel encouraged and welcome this morning. Kay, would you come up, please?
Good morning, Living Water. Oh, you guys can do better than that. Good morning, Living Water. Oh, man, it is good to see all of you this morning. I hope you had a blessed weekend and enjoyed the 4th of July. Just a great reminder that we do live in a country that does allow us to gather together and freely worship the God that we serve. Man, if it's your first time here with us, that we're so glad that you've joined us. Like Shane mentioned, there's that connection card in the seat back in front of you. If you wouldn't mind filling that out and drop it in the box on your way out, just so we can get to know you a little bit more, or you can scan that QR code and it'll take you into the website where you can fill that out there. We'd love to get to know you a little bit more and be able to minister to you and just help you plug in with our community here at Living Water. All right, who's ready to dive into God's Word this morning? Man, you guys are awake. Genesis chapter 2 is where we'll be at if you got your Bible. We'll be in Genesis chapter 2, starting verse 1 of chapter 2. Go ahead and have Matthew 6 ready as well. We will get there after Genesis, but that's where we'll start today. We're back in our series, Rest for the Weary, looking at the rest that Jesus not only provides us with, but invites us to by telling us that his burden is easy and that his yoke is light. Over the past few weeks throughout this talk, we've looked at the true rest that Jesus provides through the invitation to community, through the Christian community around us that we can lean on when times are tough. We've looked at rest from a performance-based lifestyle, that it's no longer about what we can do, but what he has done, where we find rest. And we talked about rest from past failures, that we no longer have to carry that around, but it's Jesus who defines us, and we can rest in that. And then last week, as David talked about, we talked about carrying the weight of discouragement and how we no longer need to carry that weight, and we can rest in Jesus knowing that he's near and he's always working. So today, as we dive back into the invitation and calling to rest that God has for us, the title of the message, if you're taking notes or if you're following along, is Rest from the Rush. Rest from the rush, the hurry, and the busyness of everyday life. As many of us in this room know, sometimes life can just get a bit chaotic. That's probably an understatement. Whether it be the busyness of just the routines, your jobs, all the things that you're doing throughout your life, sometimes life can just get busy. You know, I was thinking about this as we were preparing for it. You know, the world just continues to move faster and faster and faster. You know, I've never, in my lifetime, in my generation, there's never been a time where the world did not have a single day of the week where everything was closed. As some of you may remember, you know, there once was a day where everything was closed on Sunday, a time where restaurants and grocery stores and markets were closed and the world slowed down a little bit. But in my lifetime, I've noticed from being a kid to now, it just continues to move faster and faster and faster through holidays, through weekends. And God is inviting us to rest from this rush, to slow down and to sit at his feet. You know, just this past week, I was thinking about this on Thursday. You know, as I was getting ready for the week, I decided to take a rest day on Thursday. I was coming off of a camp. I was getting ready for another one. I was like, I need to rest and regroup. But right off the bat in the morning, a day that I decided to rest on, my brain is filled with the worries of all the things to come. And so me being me, I naturally get up and I start working. I can't sit still, so I stop working on all the things I need to work on. And after a long day of toil, by the end of it, I took a breath and I realized that a day that I'd set aside to connect with God, I had wasted that opportunity that I'd set aside for. I hadn't rested at his feet that day. Maybe that's a season that you're in. Maybe it's a season that you've been in before. I've been in many seasons in my life where that was the normal, where it felt like life was moving just so fast that I couldn't slow down and rest with my Creator. Dallas Willard, who was a pastor and theologian, once said, "If Satan cannot make you sin, he will make you busy." Think on that for just a second. If Satan cannot make you sin, he will make you busy. You know, the truth is a lot of what we would define as busy is stuff that we can't avoid. Going to work throughout the week, taking care of the family, getting the kids to the various activities that they're involved in, right? Taking care of things around the house, being involved in different community groups and in the relationships that we have around the people around us. And those things are good. This isn't the busyness that Willard is talking about, nor is it the busyness that God is inviting us to rest from. What God's inviting us to rest from is when all of those things above and whatever else is on the to-do list of your life becomes so great that we forget to slow down and enjoy living life in the presence of God and just sit at his feet for just a moment. Like I just told you, my past Thursday, but maybe that is the norm for your life, or it's been the norm, where life feels so rushed that taking time to rest feels wrong, where life is moving so fast that sitting still feels like time wasted, where life is so rushed that sitting at the Savior's feet is almost a lost art. Busyness and hurry are the enemy of the spiritual life. Jesus has cleansed us of sin through the shedding of his blood, and he's not only freed us from separation from God, but he's also freed us from a life without rest. And today he is showing us that he's offering a peace that only he can provide, an assurance that only he can guarantee. This invitation to rest is an invitation to sit at his feet and carve out time purely to spend with God. As we dive into the word today, before I pray for us, let's slow down just a bit this morning and sit at God's feet and just dwell in his presence. Let me pray for us. Father, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather together. God, that we are in a place where we can gather together freely, God, to worship your name. Lord, I ask that you would just open our hearts, God, as you speak to us. God, that you would just prepare for us a word, God, that we can apply to our lives and share with those around us. That, God, we would slow down for this moment to rest at your feet, God, and to dive into your word with full focus. It's in your most heavenly name that we pray. Amen. So starting in Genesis 2, before we get over to Matthew 6, we're looking right after the story of creation, the account of creation where God speaks things into existence is where we'll start. And in verse 31 of chapter 1, it says, "Then God looked over all that he had made, and he saw that it was very good. And evening passed, and morning came the sixth day." And so now to chapter 2. "So the creation of heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when he rested from all the work of his creation." Man, first off, I think we shouldn't take for granted just how powerful and wonderful our God is. That in 6 days, God in all his power, his might, and his justice spoke the very creation around us into existence. We serve a very powerful and wonderful God. Let us not take that for granted. Light and darkness obey his command, and the wind and the waves bow at his feet. That is the God that we serve. But what I want us to see here is what happens next. After this extreme use of power, we see God do something very important. After 6 days of creation, Scripture says that he stopped. He slowed down. He rested for a full day. The God of the universe, who spoke all of what is around us into existence, rested for a full day. God resting is not due to the fact that he was tired or weary. He is God and cannot be bound by these things. But his resting is to show us his design for creation, that his design for creation would be his dwelling place. God was very intentional about this. He's calling us to dwell with him through rest from the everyday routine, that we would take intentional time to rest in his presence, to sit at his feet and to connect with him. God resting, again, is not due to the fact that he was weary or tired, but we as humans grow weary and tired. And if God rests, how much more then should we rest? This invitation to rest is also an invitation to rest from the physical tiredness. We know that after a full week of work and of taking care of all the things in our life and the busyness, sometimes we can just get exhausted. And God's inviting us to sit at his feet and be filled and rest from that exhaustion. It's an invitation to practical rest. God resting and calling the day holy shows that while the Sabbath would not yet be a part of the law until later in Exodus, that from the very beginning, God instituted it and demonstrated it to us as something we should practice, not by means of salvation, for we know that only comes through the blood of Jesus Christ, but as a gift to us to sit at his feet and to slow down from the everyday life. Like we mentioned earlier, we live in a world that is pushing faster and faster and faster, that wants us to be busy all of the time. When you and I choose to rest at God's feet, we're declaring to the world that despite what the culture may push me to, I trust God's word. It declares a trust in God that his word is good, and his invitation to rest is larger than any anxieties and worries that may push me to move faster. You can go ahead and flip over to Matthew chapter 6 now. When we choose to rest, we're trusting in God's sovereignty, and Jesus speaks on him being in control of things and speaks against what we might worry about. See, the truth is a lot of what keeps us busy and moving are simply the fears and worries of what is to come. The fears of all the things and the worries of taking care of everything in our day-to-day life, right? And so Jesus speaks on this in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25 at the Sermon on the Mount. And he says to the people, "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God so wonderfully cares for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, 'What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear?' These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." Again, like we've mentioned, much of what keeps us busy is the fears and worries that we have in just everyday life. The fear of making enough to provide. The fear of building up enough assets for the future. The fear of doing right by our family, of doing right by our kids, of doing right in the relationships that we have. And all of the other things in life. Those fears and anxieties, they push us to keep moving, to keep in control of the situation. And that is the truth. We love to be in control. It's like driving a car. I mean, when you're driving a car, who likes to be behind the wheel? Like, who has to drive anytime you're in the car? All right, a handful of you guys. The rest of you guys are just not honest. We all know that you love to be behind the wheel. The truth is, that's how I am when I get in the car. I want to be in control. It's not that I think my wife, Cammie, is a bad driver. I think she's a perfectly capable driver. It's just that if something happens, yeah, well, you know, we can think that. But it's not that she's not capable. It's that if something bad happens in that vehicle, where I need to swerve or I need to brake hard, I want to be in control. I want to be in control of that situation. The truth is that following Jesus for myself at times, and even today, I have to constantly remind myself this, and maybe this is true for you too, but with following Jesus, sometimes we just want control. That we want to follow Jesus, but we have a hard time surrendering control of everything in life at his feet. We want to control every situation, the things that might go wrong, the things in our life with our worries and our fears, or the things in our schedule, because we've convinced ourselves that if we can't control it, we can make it right. Jesus' words to this, which I love and have had to remind myself time and time again, who by being anxious can add but an hour to your life? Who by worrying can add but a moment to your life? I think we keep going and we keep adding and we move faster and faster, not just because the world around us has told us that we need to, but one, because it distracts us from the desire to control the situation, and two, like we said, we've convinced ourselves that if we just try hard enough, everything will be okay, that we will make everything right. Man, Jesus' words speak against this. He tells us that we're not in control, that it's not us who provides, that it's not us who knows time. He shows us that it's ultimately him who is in control and above all things. It's ultimately him who provides in all areas of our life. And it's him who holds the fabric of time in his hands. God who graciously watches over us and tends to our needs. If he cares wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. You can rest today knowing that it's all in God's hands, that even though the busyness and the rush of life constantly work against our relationship with God, we can rest at his feet. Busyness is the enemy of spiritual life, and God is inviting us to rest at his feet today. I think there are three things that compulsive hurry and busyness cause us to miss out on with things with God. There's three things. The first is this. Busyness keeps us from connecting with God. Busyness keeps us from connecting with God. Connection with God requires an intentional decision to spend time with him in full focus. It requires us to carve out time to spend in the Word, to spend time in prayer, and sometimes just to sit silently listening to him at his feet. When the hurry of life becomes faster and faster, it becomes easier to make excuses, right? It becomes easier to say, hey, I just don't have enough time to slow down today. Maybe you've told yourself this one. I have many times. I'll get to it once I get everything else on my to-do list done. But you and I know that that list just keeps getting longer and longer, and life never stops moving. What I tell our college and our youth students, what we tell our college and youth students, and something that's helped me out time and time again, is to become disciplined and consistent in spending time with God and carving out time for God and connecting with the Father. It must become the priority in your life. You must build your schedule around time with God, not your time with God around your schedule. Unless this is the case, other things in life will take priority. It must become the priority in life. Jesus is our prime example here, right? In Luke chapter 5, it's the story of Jesus healing a man with leprosy. And the leper, you know, flocks to Jesus, comes to him in a village and bows at his feet and says, Lord, if you are willing, you can heal me. And Jesus sees the great faith of this man and he heals him and he stands him up and he says, go present yourself to the priest in the temple as clean and prepare the necessary sacrifice and don't tell anyone yet what had happened. Right? It was early in Jesus' ministry. He was not instructing people to share the good news just yet, but sure enough, the word gets out. And the rest of the people in this village begin to flock to Jesus. They begin to bring people to him to be healed and to see miracles and to hear his teaching. But what comes next is one of my favorite parts in Scripture. In Luke 5:16, it says, but he would often withdraw to desolate places and pray. Jesus withdrew to the lonely place to pray time and time again throughout the Gospels. And when he withdrew from this crowd, it wasn't to spite the others coming to him. It wasn't him showing that he did not love them or couldn't heal him. We know that he very well could. But it was simply Jesus showing us that time with the Father, that connection with God, was a priority in his life. He was showing us that dwelling with God in one-on-one time and slowing down was a necessary part of his life. The God of the universe who took on flesh and bone slows down. Again, how much then should we? When you and I choose to slow down to rest and connect with God, we find that instead of worrying about what is ahead, we trust that he has his hand on every situation. We find that instead of looking for nourishment and finishing our schedule or living up to a standard, we find nourishment is supplied greatly in him and it's fulfilling. We find that our lives begin to revolve around him, and we look forward greatly to these times of dwelling with him in one-on-one time, more than we look forward to anything else. Choose his rest today. Slow down and connect with God. The second thing is this. Busyness keeps us from seeing how God is working in our lives and in the lives of others around us. The ongoing cycle of hurry often causes us to miss and lose sight on all of the ways that he has moved in our life. We are moving way too fast to sit and talk to those around us about what God is doing in us and around us. We're moving too fast to notice it ourselves. You know, one of the things about moving faster that I've noticed since I've been young to now is that dinner around the table is not a normal thing in families anymore. It used to be a very normal thing, right? Now, we've moved so fast that we don't have time for these things, right? These conversations about God. A coach I used to work for before I surrendered to ministry used to always tell our teams two phrases that I'm sure you've probably heard before. The first is this: live where your feet are at. and the second was smell the roses. Now, in that context of being around the team, it always meant to enjoy the opportunity, whether it was a conference game or a tournament. It was to enjoy the opportunity and understand to be grateful for it because it wasn't guaranteed, to enjoy the moment. I think in the context of following Jesus, what we need to see is that we must slow down and be present in each and every moment that he gives us and look over how greatly he has blessed us and he is working in our life. To be present where our feet are at and to smell the roses of what God is doing. When you and I fail to slow down to see these things, we begin to miss the truths that he is still working and still moving because he is the same God yesterday, today, and tomorrow. When we go on for long periods of time without slowing down to see what God is doing, we begin to believe Satan's lies. We believe the lie that we cannot hear him speak in our life. We believe the lie that he's not present or that we feel distant from him. All of these are lies from Satan. The truth is that God is always near. He is always working and he is always leading. It is never a matter of God not being present with us. It's that we have not slowed down to see what he's working on. It's not a matter of God not speaking, but rather that the distractions of hurry and the busyness of life have often drowned out his voice in our lives. Not because God cannot speak over these things, but because we've given priority to the busyness of our everyday life. Choose to slow down today. Choose to intentionally look for and seek his voice. Choose to conversate and talk about all of the ways that God's working. And choose to sit and see how he's moving. Around the dinner table, to those regularly in your life, and with yourself in that one-on-one time with God. When we do this, when we slow down and we look for the ways that God's moving and we think on and we pray and we thank him for how he's blessed us, we begin to see more clearly in our lives how his hand is moving. We see it more often. Now, that's not a guarantee that it'll always make sense or that it'll be clear. We know very often that God's plan often doesn't make sense to us. But when we slow down and we see him moving and we trust his working, it will remind us that even when it is unclear, we can rest easy in the truth that he is good and he is on his throne because he's the same God yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The last thing is this. Busyness keeps us from being used by God to grow his kingdom. Busyness and hurry, again, are the enemy of spiritual life, but they often keep us out of the game, right? You know, a mentor of mine once said that Jesus has no backup quarterbacks, right? That Jesus has no bench players. And what that means is that when Jesus has saved you for a new purpose, he's called you into his work to be the hands and feet of his gospel, and we all have a part to play. And what a glorious thing that is. But the truth is that unless we slow down to take these opportunities when he gives them to us, to maybe share the word with a coworker or to pray for someone in need, we often miss out on this crucial part of our lives with Christ. And the reason is because the truth is that a lot of these opportunities that God grants us can often feel like an interruption to what else is going on in life. Right? It comes at us at a time when we're busy doing something else and the interruption comes up and we don't choose to slow down and take part in the opportunity that God grants us. Again, Jesus is our prime example here. The truth is in Jesus' ministry, a lot of what he's teaching or the miracles that he performed come at inopportune times. They come at times of what we would call interruptions, right? You look at the paralytic man. Jesus is teaching a crowd in a house, and these people dig a hole in the roof and drop this man in down. It's interruption. You look at the rich young ruler who came up to Jesus for advice when he and the 12 were preparing for a journey. But the one that sticks out to me the most is the story of the bleeding woman. In Mark chapter 5, we see that Jesus has been approached by a temple ruler named Jairus, who is at his feet begging him to come to his house and heal his daughter, who is on her deathbed. I mean, many of us have heard this story. And so Jesus gets out and he leaves with Jairus to go to his house. And a great crowd of people flock around Jesus. And this woman who had been bleeding for 12 years says to herself, "If I can only touch his robes, I will be healed." And so she falls at his feet and touches his robes. And Jesus, knowing that power had come out of him, says to the crowd, "Who touched me?" And when the woman came forward, Jesus stopped and slowed down and ministered to this woman. He commended her faith. He walked her through the situation, and he declared her healed. See, the matter that Jesus was in here was pressing. It was difficult. Life was happening. There were things going on. It could have been very easy for him to say to this woman, hey, just come back to me tomorrow. I'm a little busy right now with this situation. It would have been easy to say, hey, just wait here for a little while. I'll be right back. I got to take care of this matter. But his response is to slow down and minister to this woman and then get on his way and go to Jairus' house. Jesus' response to these people that interrupt him is more showing of how in tune with the Father his life was. He didn't see these moments as an inconvenience. He didn't see them as interruptions, but as opportunities to present the kingdom of God to others around him. That was an interruption to be welcomed. And church, ask yourself this question. Are these opportunities in my life that God is giving me, do I see them as interruptions? Do I see them as an inconvenience? Or maybe you're asking yourself this, God, I haven't seen an opportunity to be on mission for you because I'm moving too fast to notice them. How wonderful is it that we serve a God who has not only saved us, but given us a new purpose. It's wonderful that he has chosen us to be a vessel for his work, to be the hands and the feet that he works through here on earth. Slow down this week and look for these opportunities that God gives you. Slow down just enough that when the opportunity arises, God will work through you. For we know that God is still moving and that God is still working. Don't let the routine of everyday life become a hindrance to letting God work through you and getting to see the God of the universe work in miraculous ways. Looking back at this morning as we get ready to close, I invite us to remember this. Remember to find rest in his presence, to dwell at his feet, to sit at his feet. God demonstrates this rest for us all the way back at the beginning of time, that his design for creation was that our spirits would run to him in refuge, that we would sit at his feet and find solace in him. Look at Jesus' words in Matthew 6, and even when the world tells you that the fears of what's to come, that the future that you should worry about, that you should prepare for all these things, that we need to lay the anxieties and the worries at his feet, to surrender control, to give him the glory and control of all things, because he is above all things and the provider of all things. Rest easy knowing that he is working, and slow down to find nourishment in him. Don't let the routine of everyday life and the busyness and the hurry keep you from connecting with God, from seeing how he's working, and from being on mission to advance the kingdom of God here on earth. As we talked about time and time again through the series, Jesus is ready to meet us in our exhaustion and give us his rest. He is inviting us into true rest today that only he provides, because only he can provide it. Whether you've been with us over the past few weeks or whether today is your first time with us, understand and know the truth today that true rest and freedom is found in Christ Jesus and him alone because of what he has done, because of his life, his death, and his resurrection. These things have not only secured victory over sin, but they've washed us clean should we lay everything down at his feet and come to him in faith. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for the opportunity this morning that we have to dive into your word. For the chance, God, that we have to sit at your feet. God, we thank you for designing creation in such a way that you would dwell with us. God, we thank you for the spirit that you've placed in us that allows us to connect with you, God. And Lord, I ask that you would give us strength this week to slow down, to just take a break, God, from the everyday routine and spend time in your presence to connect with you, God, and to find nourishment in you. Lord, we thank you for Jesus and all that he's done. It's in your most heavenly name that we pray. Amen. Know this morning that you can find rest in Christ Jesus. That even when life is difficult and even when everything is rushed, that rest is to be found in Jesus. Would you go ahead and stand with us this morning? If you need to make a decision or if you have anything to talk about, we would love to walk you through these things and talk about them with you. We'll be at the front here after service if you'd like to come up and speak with us. But let's get ready to receive the blessing this morning as we head out. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Y'all have a great week.